Bendo, Steve here.
Ed Larson.
And Poochie.
And Poochie.
But I just am Poochie in this. It's just you got the catchphrase and I'm just here. And
maybe we need a new catchphrase to open up.
For going in raw specifically, we need some sort of new way of doing things. We'll converse on that between this episode and the next one, because we've already said who we are.
Yeah.
We've already done it. It's already in the books.
Yeah.
We've already revealed the secrets.
And welcome to Going in Raw. Today we're going to talk about Hell in the Cell 2014.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a look back at WrestleMania 27. But first, we had our big Hell in the Cell yesterday. And Dan, I imagine you have some Dan notes, correct?
I have many. 6 pages I wrote across these 2 pay-per-views.
Most
of the time this was actually to try and remember things that were happening, and well, some of them get slightly offensive towards me.
No, that's fine. The more offensive, the better, I say.
Oh, good. You're going to like them then.
Awesome. What kicked off Hell in the Cell, I believe, was the Intercontinental match, right?
No, there was Bo Dallas being beaten up by Mark Henry for 6 seconds.
Oh, that
seconds.
Was literally, that was the kickoff show. Oh, man.
That I actually, the match started, and I was like, ooh, I've got to go get a drink. Went to go drink, and it was done by the time I got back. So
it was done by the time you got to the kitchen, because it was literally like about 10 seconds long.
Yeah. I literally, as I turned on, Bo Dallas was saying that Mark Henry was an Ebola carrier or something, and I was like, oh, good, he's a racist now.
Yeah,
that's an interesting character as well.
Did they let him? Did they let him actually? I don't think they let him say Ebola, did they? I think he accused Dallas of being, because you know they were the first town to have Ebola here in the States.
Yeah,
and so I thought it was interesting that they just—I mean—they would let him allude to it, but they wouldn't let him say Ebola unless they did let him say it. I just wasn't paying attention.
I wasn't paying attention either. We're bad.
I didn't even watch it, so.
You missed absolutely nothing. It was terrible. I mean, it was funny because I like Mark Henry. I like Mark Henry's new shirt. Mark Henry always has really well-designed shirts.
He does. As opposed to everybody else.
Yeah. This one, it's got like a new, it's like a ticket stub to the Hall of Pain.
Ooh.
He's got the most.
It's nice.
He's got the most criminally underused sort of catchphrases and gimmicks.
Like, and his theme tune. It's his theme tune. His theme tune is just how to kill someone.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Exactly. Somebody's going to get their ass kicked. Yeah. And he's got great packaging. He's got, his entrance is great when they bring the camera out behind him. And everything about, I love Mark Henry, but like all that needs to be used on like a main eventer, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. He needs more mic time as well, especially since his retirement speech was absolutely wonderful.
Oh,
I need more things like that, because he is. He also didn't turn heel. They set up a heel turn and then didn't do it. We'll talk about that later, I assume. But that was like one of the biggest surprises of the night, when he came out and just didn't do anything.
He just came out and was legitimately supporting his friend. I wonder if he called an audible. I wonder if he called. We'll get to that later because we're going to ramble on that, because that was, you're right. So yeah, that was sort of a non-match. I don't know. I watched the pre-show. I like Bo Dallas. I think he's kind of weird and flabby, but
yeah.
when he does his victory lap, like his non-belly, whatever that is, like jiggles, and it's just weird.
Yeah, I kind of like his I wanted him to keep his streak going. I wanted him to be undefeated for ages.
Yeah.
I thought that would be fun. And he needs a submission move where he tells them to not tap out while he's doing the submission.
That's a good idea.
That's
gives
a great
inspiring
idea.
Talks. That's why I've always that was...
You can do it, buddy.
Yeah,
you can
don't tap
on.
Out. And then he taps out. Aww, shame.
Ask him, like, and then he asks the ref, him if he believes. Oh, that's a good one. I like that. That's good.
That is good.
See?
And then the actual show started, and the kickoff match was the Intercontinental Championship match.
Yes, Ziggler versus
What do your
Cesaro.
Notes say, Dan?
Okay, I will point out I'm a huge Ziggler fan.
Yes, same here.
So there's not many notes because I was really enjoying the match. Like, the less notes there are, the more I enjoyed the match.
Oh.
Which is why, unless it was like 5 seconds long and I didn't get time, which is why the Cole match we'll be talking about later on is about 8 pages long.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I wrote a small novel for that one. I thought that was a really fun match. Especially, my favorite bit of it was the constant near falls they had for like, almost like 40, 50 seconds. They were just rolling up, and just doing counts of that. I find that really funny.
I thought it was really, usually they have a, with these two out of three falls match, they usually have a pattern of, you know, just to enhance the drama. You know, one per they split the first two, and then it goes to the third one. I thought it was a really number one. I think both guys looked very, very strong, and it's. I thought it was an interesting feat that they pulled off both guys looking strong and yet Ziggler going for the sweep.
Yeah.
And I thought that was smart on so many different levels because they're somehow trying to make Ziggler strong. They're trying to make the IC belt strong, which I think is really important. Mm-hmm. Like, in my opinion, the IC belt should be up there as like just the like kind of the co-main event if they're going to have Brock Lesnar, you know, attending high school volleyball games, whatever the hell he's doing. Did you guys see that picture of him with like the high school mascot?
It was, I think it's University of Minnesota or something like that.
Oh, that was a college. Okay. Yeah, does he have like a volleyball. Kid? College volleyball. All right. Yeah, Dan, there's a picture out there of like a Lesnar just in the bleachers. And there's only like two like college girls who probably don't even know who he is, like sort of behind him, but up steps, like have no, you know, nothing to do with him.
Yeah,
and he's got like I think he's wearing like a he's wearing like a denim jacket. Yeah, he's got and all denim jeans. On.
Yeah,
he's all denim, and then like the mascot is sitting next to him posing for the camera, and Lesnar has sort of a half like the biggest smile you'd think he could ever have in real life when he's not like turning purple and beating up on John Cena.
Yeah,
it's the weirdest thing. It's yeah.
I'll have to look at that.
It's just what he's doing. Yeah. These days because he's not actually wrestling and yet he's the heavyweight championship. But I think the IC title should be up there, and I hope that this is what they're sort of aiming at is just building up the prestige more.
Yeah.
I can't help. I think the real hero of that match, though, was the vein on Cesaro's head, which I thought was going to explode many, many times throughout the thing. I was like, you need that looked at because that is the size of Ziggler.
He shaved his head, didn't he?
Who?
Cesaro.
It's been more or less shaved ever since he's come out.
No, I thought he just kept it real. I could be wrong. Didn't he just keep it like a bald guy? Like,
he had some on
the side?
No, he'd have at times a little bit of stubble there, but it's always been pretty much shaved clean.
Hold on a second. I'm going to look up Cesaro now. Because something bugged me about, like, it was freshly shaved and it was, like, super white compared to the rest of his body. Something about, or maybe it was his beard. I don't know. Something
no,
bugged me about
darker.
His head.
His beard was more full. That was
the vein.
I think it was just the fact that, okay, I'm looking at pictures. He's had more, like, much more stubble on his head than he did last night. Last night it was completely, like he just shaved it with, like, a number zero. And so it looked like a Q-tip. It looked extra white.
I thought it was just a difference in tone between his flesh and his darker beard. Because I thought the beard was thicker.
The beard was thicker, but it was usually he keeps the beard the same length as his head.
Oh, okay.
And so there was a bigger contrast of his really, really white head and his dark beard. And that threw me off, but it makes me wonder if maybe that's why he didn't get one of those falls.
I thought it could have just been reflecting Ziggler's hair, because Ziggler has the whitest hair in the universe.
Maybe. That's maybe true. He saw that, and he was like, I want to be Intercontinental Champion. I'm going to do that. That's my Cesaro accent.
Where is he? You sound like Dracula. He's from Switzerland.
Yeah, that's where Dracula's from. The belt. Switzerland, Transylvania, it's all the same thing.
Somewhere there. Just point to the middle of Europe. There, that'll be it.
That area over there. I wish to have this belt.
We had a great Cole quote at the start of this. He was like, it's double international flair in this match with Cesaro from Switzerland. And then he just stopped talking because he realized that Ziggler's not that international.
It's so un-international.
Ohio is foreign land to Michael Cole, I guess.
Exactly. It was a fun match. Yeah.
It was the ending of that match, which is the highlight of the night. Because I made my wrestling debut.
That was huge, huge news. I was very impressed. Your empire reaches far and wide, Dan.
Terrifying, isn't it?
But the funny thing about that sign is that it was a modest size sign, but it was so perfect. Like, I don't know if they printed it out or did it by hand.
It's my YouTube avatar sign. So they've just taken the YouTube avatar and just used that.
They've just blown that up to scale.
Yeah, and like I actually could sue the WWE now for broadcasting.
You could. That's right.
Could.
Yeah. That's your
unless
logo.
They give me an early copy of WWE 2K15. Thank you. PS4.
I would ask for more. I'd ask for booking decisions.
I would too. A spot on creative.
Exactly. At least in NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Spartan grade, I'd just be like, more Nerd Cube signs. But sir, there's too many out there. More, I say.
More, damn it.
They just start throwing the ring like it's bloody TNA, and it's just a pile of Nerd Cube signs.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what they start using. They start using those for foreign objects.
Yeah.
Blasting people with Nerd Cube signs.
That would be great. Yeah, my Twitter avatar is now Ziggler looking dead because that's his best look with the Nerd Cube sign being held above him.
That is what he does best. And yet he came out with a victory last night. It was very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a hard full victory. He got like a million finishes done to him, so it seemed.
The end of that was fantastic, though, because he did what? The super kick?
That sequence is really good.
The zigzag and whatever else his finisher is, I forget what he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did three things. Kind of.
It was a three thing that he did, and that man, that was cool. I was like, holy crap, that was like infinite finishers on 2K14.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's finisher.
I sum that up in my notes as no way, and then way.
Yeah.
In all caps. All caps. It got me to all caps there.
Yeah, they both looked really, really good. And that's the thing, like, you can, it's funny, but if it just shows if your shtick is you're just a damn good wrestler and you're out to make the other guy look good, then you're going to look really good even if you lose, you know, in a sweep in a 2 out of 3
quarter. Yeah. And they're both kind of like old school, back when the days when the champion used to travel and his whole job, I've said this probably a million times before, like, especially about Ziggler, where the job of the like the NWA champion was to go from territory to territory and make their top guy look good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why everybody loves Ric Flair, because he was, you know, NWA champ for the longest time, and he'd wrestle 1 hour matches every night, two of them on Sundays, and just make the other guy look really, 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 really good. Like, he can stand toe to toe with the champ. And that's Ziggler. I've always thought that was his primary skill, was that he can make anybody look good.
Yeah.
And I think Cesaro's in the same camp too. So I wish every match was that good. It makes me... Matches like that, it's like, okay, that's why I really enjoy watching the wrestling part of wrestling.
Yeah.
But
the wrestling part, as opposed to all the other weird shit.
Yeah, I know.
And there's some weird shit out there.
Speaking of which, so after that was Nikki Bella versus Brie Bella.
Yeah, Sister Act 3.
Which surprisingly was, in my opinion, the best diva match of the night.
Yeah.
I missed it. I was too busy changing my Twitter avatar.
That's right. Yeah, I saw your mental. I guess euphoria breakdown of euphoria. I don't know. What
it
was
really.
Twitter.
It was just one of those moments. But I started playing with everyone because I actually have like a wrestling belt, like a proper one. I've kept. I got it for when I hit 1 million subscribers. I just got it for myself. I was like, I'm getting this because it's cool. And it's like properly made by the guys that made the US Championship, which is my favorite looking championship. So it's like custom design, it's probably made stuff, but I've kept it secret because like the original reason I had for it was like this sketch that never like came to fruition. So I've had it for like a year and a half just sitting doing nothing. And this was the perfect time. So I started talking like, Vince has arrived at my door. He's called me the YouTube champion. People were like, yeah. And then I posted a picture of me holding a belt with YouTube champion, just a gold belt with the NerdCube logo on it. And people were like, what's happening? I was like, I don't know. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, because of that, I missed the entire Brie Bella match.
That was time well spent, I would say.
Yeah,
I think so.
Because it's not like you missed that much, and thanks to the network, you can see it whenever you want to now.
Yeah, I had two notes on it. The first one was, I missed the entrances, so I have no idea which is which Bella. Because I could never tell them apart. And the second note was, a Bella won!
Just remember the face Bella, the good Bella is the flat-chested one.
Okay.
That's
boobs
how I,
are evil. Boobs
yeah,
are evil.
Boobs okay. are evil. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't. I missed most of this as well because I watched the entrances, which is all I care about. Because like Nikki sort of bends over and it's like, oh, that's nice cleavage right there. And then otherwise, I didn't care about it because I figured it was going to suck. And then I read online apparently that it was pretty decent. So when I say it was the best diva match of the night, I didn't see it, but everybody says it was okay.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
it should
okay,
be. I
good.
Mean, if they're because they're sisters, that's I assume who you would practice your wrestling moves on, especially if you're growing up together as wrestlers. They should be able to put on an absolutely amazing show.
You would think. Unfortunately, I don't think that's the case. I think it's just probably compared to most of the crap we see in the Divas division.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty decent.
That is true.
That's good.
But I was too busy doing laps of honor with Bo Dallas.
You believed, and look what happened.
I did. It was great. And this is now going to happen every single time. I'm just going to have to watch Raw and SmackDown and everything religiously just to scan the crowds.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to go on frame by frame, just very slowly. Just be like, that's kind of looks like my logo. Maybe not. I don't know. Oh, that's an NWO logo right there. That's not me.
They're roughly the same. Red NWO or Blue NWO, one of them.
It's all the same.
I've been watching Monday Right Nor. Yes, Monday Right Nor. It's right a great now, show. Yeah. Monday Right Nor is a great show.
You've been watching the Monday Night Wars, though.
Yeah.
What is your? You love it, huh?
Oh, I absolutely adore it. It's such a solid documentary as well, and it's so interesting. I mean, the Goldberg one just was the last.
Oh, did that drop already? That came out already?
Yeah, Goldberg was last week's one.
Oh shit!
But now
okay,
I know who Goldberg is? Like, because I've never even heard of Goldberg until like Ryback's on.
What's your opinion on Goldberg?
They fucked that up, didn't they?
Oh yeah, yeah, big time.
Oh yes.
Like, because when the last one, I was like, oh yeah, they should just use a taser in a comedy way to take down Brock Lesnar, and actually they did do that to kill a streak off as well.
Yeah,
that's not a good idea.
It was an absolute clusterfuck. That seemed it cracks me because that probably more. I mean, I know it was an absolute clusterfuck in WCW. But the Monday Night Wars, given that it's, you know, spearheaded by the WWE, it just seems to illustrate the entire documentary series, just seems to illustrate how stupid WCW was.
Yeah.
And they really don't, I mean, they, I don't know, they don't, I don't know if they really give WCW the credit that they might, I think they need a little bit more credit for WCW. Because they were doing some cool shit, but man, they love to ride on them. They love to fucking rag on WCW. It's hilarious. Goldberg always seemed like a really nice guy, though. It cracks me up, and it bugged me that they didn't feature this quote in the, or maybe they did in the Luchadors episode, but Goldberg had always, there was like a quote from him when they interviewed him at some point, and he was like, oh yeah, man, I love the Luchadors. That's who I'd always go watch in the back. And it always cracks me up because Goldberg always seemed like a time card guy. Like, he'd punch in, and he'd
do his
job.
That's literally what he says he does in this. Yeah. Which he says he was just a time card guy.
Exactly. And that's great because he was huge. Like, I remember when we were watching at the time, he was huge. Mm-hmm. Like, we loved him.
Well, not all
of us. Jeff loved him.
Yeah.
Jeff really loved him. But, like, we appreciated how big he was and how legit he was in terms of what the crowd reaction was.
Yeah, his build was completely organic. They didn't.
It really was.
Yeah.
And then they fucked it up.
And then, yes. They,
there was actually... In that episode, there was an absolutely amazing quote from Cena about Goldberg. Hmm. And just see if... Cena says this with a straight face. I think if the irony clicks in, he would implode. But this is an actual quote. I watched this several times to get it perfect. After a while, it kind of lost its luster because there wasn't any dimension to his character. You know, you can only kick so many people's ass before people are like, eh, okay.
Oh, man.
I'm just going... Do you not see that Cena?
But you know what? It makes me wonder. It makes me wonder if, because Cena has said before, like it was a couple months ago, I guess he was at the gym and somebody asked him, like on video, "Are you ever gonna turn heel?" And he said, "No." He said, "It's not ever gonna happen." He said, "I just do what the company tells me to do." It makes me wonder if Cena is. He has to be a self-aware guy.
Oh,
he has to understand that, you know, they're just doing this because it sells merchandise. And it's like, to his credit, as a professional, he brings it every night to the extent that he can, to the extent that they let him. But it's not like it's his decision whether or not he can be bored, whether he can do the same old thing every single night or not. You know, that's the thing about Cena is that if you're going to blame somebody, you have to blame the company because they're not doing anything with him because he sells so much goddamn merchandise.
Yeah, there's all this.
Blame the people buying the merchandise. They're the ones to blame.
There's always a lot of talk on dirt sheets about how Cena's burying this person and burying this person.
Yeah.
But that's not, you know, who wins and loses matches isn't his call.
Yeah.
That's creative's call, you know? So.
Unless he's the head of creative secretly. This is all a big conspiracy.
I guess Jericho, I think it was Jericho who had said that Cena, I mean, I think he can still pull power plays like in terms of what goes on in the ring and, oh, I'm going to win this way or I'm going to win that way or whatever. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's like, you know, so it makes me wonder if Cena was like, if Cena was fully aware when he said that, what he was talking about, you know?
That's funny.
Who knows? Maybe not. Maybe he is. I don't know.
He's a wrestling robot.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So let's see. After the Bellas. And I think tonight or tomorrow. Yeah, I think tonight is going to be the Jericho episode, which I'm really excited
yes,
about.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Ooh,
that's going to be fucking entertaining.
Well, did you see they have that new show called Rivalries on?
Yeah,
that's really good as well.
That's gonna be another, because they have like the DVD or documentary. Where
yeah,
they
which isn't bad. Yeah,
but this is gonna be just an expansion of that, which I love. I love that shit.
It's gonna be awesome.
Let's see here. The tag team championship match is up next. Goldust and Stardust defeated the Usos.
Don't call them that. They don't call them Goldust and Stardust. It's Golden Stardust, and that bugs me.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't do it. Because I don't. It's, I hate it's gold really and stardust. Irritating. Yeah.
Because it just sounds like, oh, his name's Gold, is it? Because even Cole just stopped talking mid sentence when he was saying, oh, and Gold, Golden, and then just stopped. And you're just like, oh, is the guy's name Gold now? So I assume his name is just Gold.
They just need to call him the Dust Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That but doesn't make... don't the Dust Brothers, the music production duo, maybe they have that name?
You're probably exactly right. You're probably exactly right.
They can't
yeah.
call them the Dust Brothers.
They should just switch around to Star and Goldust, because surely Goldust is the name people know more than Stardust.
You should call them. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Chaz
I have
and Dave.
No, I have no suggestions. There you go. I'm done with the Usos. I don't want to ever see them again. I hate their dance. I've said it before. I said it last time.
Yeah.
I hate their dance. They're out of sync. I know everybody tweeted at me saying it's not a dance. It's their war chant tribal thing.
It's just to intimidate their opponents.
Yeah, it does not intimidate. Like, you can't, I'm sorry, but you cannot wear those colors, like the day glow colors, those bright fuchsias and all. You can't intimidate anybody with that. You look like somebody threw up some highlight markers.
You could probably intimidate colorblind people.
That's true. That's true.
That's their whole gimmick. They're going to just turn on colorblind people.
They're
going to
find
mean?
Out.
I'm going to stop talking.
Exactly. That could be. See, that's why you should book things, Dan. You should. That's. Are you colorblind? All right, let's fight.
That'd be, I'm gonna. Yeah, I'd make a team of. I don't know. People. I'd actually clone the Usos and set them off against each other and see if their war chant's actually scary. And those two, they're going, "Oh, do we look like that? Oh, we'll stop doing that then."
That would be nice.
They haven't seen it externally.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. They don't watch. They don't have the WWE Network.
Do you reckon they get it for free?
No. Did you see? we were looking at this the other day, and who knows how much of it is true or not. But there was a leak that showed off like the wrestler salaries. And there was just like huge, really, really weird discrepancies. Like Roman Reigns makes, I think, $450,000 a year, and then like Seth Rollins makes $45,000 a year. It was, and it none of it made any, like, or some of it made sense, but a lot of it didn't. And it made me wonder, like, are they talking about, because I know there was some clarification on the developmental guys, like the NXT guys. Like, when they bring in an NFL guy, they pay him $52,000 a year, which kind of makes sense. Like, they're not traveling. They don't need a road budget. But then when normal guys just make like $24,000 to $25,000 a year. And so they're getting paid, like, not a lot at all. And so it made me wonder if like maybe that was their developmental contract that they accidentally leaked or that came out and that's what they were talking about. I don't know.
It's mysteries.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see it. I didn't see the leak.
But Larson, you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
My connection's been kind of dropping in and out, so.
Oh no.
I know, it's no good.
Did you watch the tag team match?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Well, I texted you that I thought the Usos weren't very good.
That's right.
That so, no.
there you go, Dan. Do you have notes on this match?
Not really. No. I was still sort of ringing from my Twitter avatar, and this is when I took the photo of my thing.
You were still in your cloud of
This was just me still going, hey, off over in Cloud Cuckoo Land over there.
I don't think you missed much. I didn't. No. I watched like part of this. Like we were having like a belated birthday thing for my wife. And so I watched like some of this and then I didn't watch some of it. So I read that the Dust Brothers won. Yay, that's good. I'm glad Usos, as long as the Usos don't have the belts, I'm happy. I'd prefer them just to be phased out and maybe go to like TNA or overseas or something.
They had really a slightly odd ending of the Usos were about to win and then either Cody or Goldust ran up and sort of like gently kicked the back of their heel.
Yeah, Cody kicked one.
But I loved it because of the pun of it was heel work. I just quite like that. That made me giggle. Yeah. I have one note at the end that was Usos. The Usos look sad because they did. And don't worry, you'll get another go at the next pay per view.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is going to happen
because there
for
are
a while.
Only two tag teams.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which is a problem.
It was pretty much the match you'd expect it to be. That was it. It did not exceed any expectations.
That's why I wanted them to bring the Dudleys in just to destroy the Usos for like a year straight, just to keep putting them through tables, flaming tables, and then see how intimidating they are. Hell in the Cell, John Cena versus Randy Orton. This is a good match.
It was a great match.
It was quite enjoyable.
We've seen it. I mean, quite a few times these two go at it, but you know they did it. I mean, that's the thing with these two is that they It's kind of like what you were saying with the Bellas. Like, they've basically grown up with each other for the past 12 years, and they know each other inside and out, wrestling-wise anyways. And, it was good. You know, they know what they're doing in there.
Yeah.
That was a great quote from Cole at the start, which was, he'd started an advert just as the match kicked off, which was, as John Cena and Randy Orton are about to battle, we invite you to watch your favorite TV and movies online. And it's just been going, yes, yeah, maybe I'll do that. But no, it ended up being quite good. I like Orton. I really like Orton. Cena's a bit sort of bland and, yeah.
It's annoying. It's kind of annoying to me because they, you know, they, when they telegraph their storylines, that bugs the shit out of me. Yeah. It's like, I could have been more into this match if Orton wasn't so obsessed with Seth Rollins before this, because we know that's where they're going to go.
Yeah.
And if, and personally, I would much rather have seen, it's like, I'm not a huge Orton fan, but I would much rather see at this point Orton challenge Brock Lesnar than Cena challenge Brock Lesnar.
Oh yeah.
It's like, I understand they need to get their third match in, but I like Orton versus Brock Lesnar, I think could actually be really, really interesting and really entertaining. And knowing that that wasn't going to happen, knowing that Cena was going to win no matter what, it took me out of it. And it's like, I know that that happens a million times, but I don't know. It's like they telegraphed it so heavily this time. That's what bugged me about it. There was no way out of this one.
Yeah,
pretty much. Although,
well, the way they could book it is if Orton has them, because he's still got his rematch dangling around somewhere that he never cashed in. Mm-hmm. I'd quite like to see Lesnar, Orton, Cena triple threat for the title.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be good. That could be cool.
That'd be an interesting way for them to go and just do something different, because I've seen John Cena face Brock Lesnar twice and it's not gone well for him either time.
Yeah. And then Orton Rollins, I mean, that'll be good, I guess. That'll be cool.
Anything with Seth Rollins is good.
That's pretty much. Cool. Pretty much. Orton, I mean, if this is a feud that's going to motivate Orton, like you say, Larson.
Yeah.
When Orton is motivated,
he's very good. And if he's bored like he was from about 2011 to 2013, it's pretty dull watching him. But this last year and a half, 2 years, he's been super motivated and he's been fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, still, I mean, just the name Orton, though, just kind of, I don't know. He does all these little
things in the ring, though, that are...
Yeah, that's what I really like about him, is those little looks and stuff. If someone starts doing the Cena sucks, Cena whatever, John, he just does his pose and everybody boos him and it stops. Yeah. He's great at controlling the crowd. He's absolutely amazing at it. His in-ring storytelling, that's what they say.
In-ring storytelling is
very, very good.
He's always been good at
that. Cena's, on the other hand, is atrocious.
Yeah.
Well, his story is the same every time.
The good guy. He's supposed to be the good guy, and he's like, what am I going to do? Well, I've got these steel steps. That guy's pushed up against a metal fence. I'll lob them at his face. I'm the hero. I don't understand. Also, he doesn't take fucking damage. He has super potions built into him somewhere.
Yeah.
But he's constantly spraying. Like, the one that really pissed me off was he got RKO'd. Like, he's RKO'd after being smashed in the face with a chair or through a table, whatever, then gets RKO'd. And he instead of just going, oh, I've kicked out now, oh, it's a surprise, he kicks out and just bloody sits up and it's like, no. And Carl's like, oh, he's doing that on impulse. That's not impulse. He's been bloody punched in the knackers. That's how he sat up so fast. And then as soon as the match is over, he just gets up and like, oh, I'm John Cena. And he walks off like bloody Santino. I love Santino's walk. But he doesn't ever seem to take any damage. Dude, you went through like three tables in that match.
I know.
That makes me really want to go into WWE 2K14 and change all of Cena's moves to Santino's moves, including his entrance,
his power walk,
because he also Santino also you can there's like an animation in 2K14 where you can have him walk to the ring and then he stumbles and he does like the roll like all the way down the ramp.
It'd be really funny
to see Cena do that. I'd love to see that. I might have to do that.
Maybe Cena the comedy wrestler, huh?
Maybe we'll sign John Cena to Fuck Wrestling, and he'll be the comedy guy.
Yeah. That'd be good.
He'll be specifically just the comedy angle guy.
Oh, that would be great.
Let's see here. So, yeah, solid match, good match. These two know what they're doing.
I mean, it set Randy up, because Randy took three AAs in that, and I kind of thought, maybe they're setting him up that he can take this many and still come back, that's him strong against Lesnar, and then, no, Cena won.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nobody.
He did a really cool RKO counter off of one, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
That was like a reverse RKO. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was pretty rad.
Although, out of nowhere.
the logic of it cracks me up because it's like, you know, what happens to him physically still is the same thing that was going to happen to him. Yeah. It's just a matter of him locking his arms around Cena's neck and bringing him down too. And yep. yet Orton kind of got up a little yeah, quick, you know, it's like the same thing actually happened to you that was going to happen to you.
That's logic. There's no place for that in wrestling.
Zero place. We've for been that through whatsoever. This. Like we said before, like most of the moves in wrestling, if you do them in like real life, they're going to hurt you more than the guy you're doing them to.
Yeah.
That's a great thing about wrestling. United States Championship, oddly, was next, I guess. They needed the comedy thing. Like, the United States Championship has been relegated to the role of, like, a divas match. Like, when you have a really good, intense Hell in a Cell match,
let's you need follow come down up match, with, I know.
You, let's follow it up with Sheamus versus The Miz.
There was a match going on. I was just watching Damien Sandow in the background.
Everybody was watching Damien Sandow in the back.
That's the real downside. He's absolutely supremely entertaining, but you mm-hmm. don't watch the match in the slightest.
Nope. I know. Nope. We've always loved Sandow. Sandow has always been great. And it's bizarre. And, I mean, it's a credit to him as a professional that he's still just doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
But it's really bizarre that they haven't used him more. I mean, maybe they're just happy with what he can do, like the comedy stuff. Yeah. But I love Sandow. Sandow's fucking great.
It seemed like he was on the brink of doing something when he won Money in the Bank, and then
yeah.
That's what I was about to say. That's like how I learned, because I've been watching it for a short while. So for me, Sandow was the guy that cashed into Cena and fucked it up.
And then Sandow Larson? Do you remember when Sandow won Money in the Bank?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that originally supposed to be? Or, like, it was rumored to be somebody else, and then something happened, somebody got injured or something.
That sounds vaguely familiar. Let me look.
I think somebody else was supposed to get it.
It could be, because they did push the reset, let's go back to Cena button, which is why anything goes wrong, Cena wins the title next. That's sort of the rule.
That was so fun. Like, they had Sandow. Wasn't Sandow, like, the first guy or the second guy only? Or I think the first guy to, like, legitimately... Like to, I know, to I lose think, I think the money like in the bank match,
or no,
to
was,
like
yeah.
the cash in rather the cash
yeah.
in.
Yeah,
that was a great cash in. It was very exciting. And then I remember it wasn't going to work though, because it was like, he's cashing in and we'll be right back as Raw rolls on. You're like, oh, fuck.
You're screwed. You have a whole commercial. You have a whole commercial before your cash in happens. You're done. The entire point of cashing in is it's like a 10-second match. And you have to. That's why I got so, like, literally, I was getting anxiety when Seth Rollins tried to cash in on Lesnar, because like it took him forever to ring the bell. He was like, or I guess they didn't ring the bell, did they? But he was like, he runs down to ref, and usually they run down with the ref gets in the ring, they ring the bell, it's done. But with Rollins, he had to find somebody, or he had to like talk to somebody when he gets down there, or sign a piece of paper.
Somebody who had been killed by Dean Ambrose.
Exactly, exactly. And then Dean Ambrose comes out of nowhere.
That's a great backstage set of Seth Rollins running around opening doors, and there's just dead referees everywhere. He's like, oh,
exactly. He's like, oh my god, it's all slipping away.
Oh
man. Let's
see. Another great Cole JBL moment was Cole said, because JBL was saying it was voodoo, the Miz Dale stuff. And Cole went, it's not a voodoo thing, it's a stunt double thing, to which JBL replied, what's the difference? What's the difference between stunt double and voodoo?
I mean, I don't even know where to start there. Yeah. Like, and some of the shit they say, it's like, I love JBL, but some, you know, that's the thing I've noticed with the announce crew that they got going now, is that even in like the heavy matches, the matches are supposed to be high drama, there's too many jokes thrown in.
Oh, yeah.
And it bugs the shit out of me. It's like, you know, this is an entertainment experience, and there's comedic elements, and then there's
dramatic elements.
There are elements that are supposed to be dramatic, and it's like, this is pro wrestling. To a degree, it's all comedic, but if we're buying into it, like we're kind of doing, like, we want to experience the dramatic elements in their full environment.
Mm-hmm.
And with JBL sitting there, I love JBL, but if he's going to sit there and crack jokes, that's just going to take you out of it.
I would say that was a bad thing, but I did just watch WrestleMania 27, and I met Hill Cole, so...
Oh, man. That lasted, you have no idea, that lasted so, like, the lead up to that was so fucking long.
Even the aftermath was long, it seemed like.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't want to think about it. If that had been the first thing I'd ever seen, because I started with WrestleMania 2 years later, if that was the first one I saw, I wouldn't have kept watching.
Yeah.
I'd have stopped. I'd have gone, no.
Let's see.
We'll get around to that.
Rusev defeated The Big Show.
For the custody of America, yes.
Yeah. It was, yeah, I love, number one, I love Lana. I love her so much. But I just love that at the beginning, she says, battling it out for the supremacy of global domination or something. Yeah. And I was like, no, it's not.
And to be quite honest, they've won enough now to go, look, it's like now currently best of 16. We'll just say it, Russia's better.
Yeah, done. I know, exactly. Can we just admit to that? Like, America, we tap out as a country.
Yeah, Bruce, it's true. Win. We submit. The belt.
I wonder who like it's got to be somebody.
I'm not American. I do want to point that out. I don't live in America. I don't want to start those rumors. the IRS are evil. Find me.
You know, you live in Ohio, Dan. Just give it up. Just give it up to everybody.
But according to Cole, that is not in.
That
America.
Is international waters. So, that's right.
Yeah, fine. Just worry.
I wonder who they're going to bring in to beat Rusev, because they got to bring in somebody from the outside.
Well, I was thinking about this after the match, and here's what I'm thinking, and I could be way off, because
Cena versus Rusev at WrestleMania.
Ultimately, yeah, but before that, there's got to be a story in between to tie this over. And what I was thinking they might do is have Rusev go for the U.S. title
and turn into the Russian belt,
something like that. Yeah, which means he's got to go into a program with Sheamus. And if you think about it, you know who's next on the face pecking order. Above the Big Show, then you start getting into the guys, you know, in the upper mid card.
Yep.
Which one defends America like the Irish.
Like the Irish.
Sorry.
You know when? Yeah, I'm hot and cold on Sheamus. Like there are times when he really entertains me, and there's times like now when he really bores the crap
he's
out of
boring.
Me. But I could see him and Rusev being a relative, like a cheesy, cartoonish, entertaining feud.
Yeah,
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
But I don't know who else they would have. They'd be able to use between the Ultimate Rusev Cena program at WrestleMania. I can't see anybody else.
Brock Lesnar. let's hope that never happens.
How about so let's get back to the Mark Henry not heel turn,
because
it literally was scripted like step by step.
Yeah.
Oh, even the stuff they're saying. They were like, it's his best friend and tag team partner. Like, best friend, huh?
Yeah. Oh, here it comes. No, really? He's just cool with it? Then he gets on the ring and he gets knocked out. Like, there wasn't even the seeds of a Big Show Mark Henry feud. There wasn't even, he accidentally screws up the match for
Big
Show.
Well, it seemed like it at first, because when when Big Show tossed Rusev back in the ring, and then Henry is like, okay, you got this. Go get him.
Everybody acted reasonably.
Yeah, but there was that pause there where I guess it allowed Rusev enough time to regain his composure. And then when Show got back in the ring, he got kicked. And then, you know, even just that, I was almost expecting, oh, okay, after the match, when Henry gets in the ring, is Big Show going to say, hey, why did you encourage me there or something?
It happened so fast I was like, okay, Mark Henry, that wasn't even much of a delay. Like nothing really happened there.
No.
So what was Henry's thought process? The match was midway through and he was like, he could probably do with a hug and just walk down to the ring. Was that what Henry decided was a good idea?
He was just like, he wants to see my face, a friendly face. He's, you know, up against some dangerous opposition, and he just wants, I want to let him know that I'm here for him.
It's guy love, that's all it is. I'm not going to sing.
It's the ultimate bromance right there. They just love each other, and then afterwards he was there for him, and, you know, he hugged him and stuff.
It was just one of those moments of, okay, that happened, and why? Yeah. Why did you come down? They just played us.
They
should just shout, you're all a bunch of puppets, and then pops a baby or something.
I wonder if what they're going to do then is feud with the Show and Henry against Rusev.
What
they'll do.
That will destroy the ring.
And they keep it realistic, and they just completely destroy Rusev. Like, they make him, they go all ISIS on him and make him read a statement.
Oh, man.
They sit him down and make him read a statement. Oh, that'd be bad. That'd be really bad.
Oh, yes.
Moving on. AJ defeated Paige, my girlfriend Paige. I love Paige. I love her so much.
The sun for once.
You know what's funny is that I kind of noticed in her pre-interview thing, she looks like she has in her interview, she looked like she had a little bit more color. She looked like she was a little bit darker than Sheamus.
I don't know. It was like, a Divas metal. I just went back to looking at my Twitter avatar.
Yeah, that match was not very good.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all. I was bummed too, because they usually put on a decent match. Like, they can put on a pretty entertaining match.
You know what I think the thing is that Paige tends to work slow.
Yeah,
she does, and AJ works can work generally really quickly.
Yeah, but they've had matches before, and they've been
I know, but they've always been generally pretty short, too.
Yeah, that's true. Though what bums me out about is that they both have high ambitions. AJ Lee was talking about how they were lobbying to get the cell lowered for their match.
Yeah.
And I thought that had been really interesting. I mean, it might have been shitty, but it would have been kind of cool. It's like let the women who want to like to want to compete with the boys, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. let them try that. Let them do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they might have come up with something new, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what they should do? They should bring out like just a ton of like the old WCW luchadors and just lower the cell. Have like a 20-man Hell in the Cell luchador match.
That'd be crazy.
Be freaking.
That'd look like one of those like lottery ball machines with just stuff flying everywhere.
But like instead of the top of the cell, like have it be open except for like the beams, mm-hmm. like all the mesh, like the fence part, mm-hmm. like take that off, and so they're all just like bouncing up there and shit, and they all falling down and stuff.
Be great. Someone to probably die.
I imagine several people would. It'd be great. Are you kidding me? I'm getting the network. They're getting my $10 every month. I can have it.
I expect him death for this $10 a month.
Yeah, I know. Damn it. Was kind of a bummer.
We got a CM Punk chart. We have to reset the counter in that match.
Exactly.
That counter of, oh, yeah, we forgot we were doing that. And that's back. So, oh, well.
And then they had that botched... That botched spot off the what is it called, the barricade thing, where it looked like they were going to try to do a suplex of some sort, but then it said AJ Lee just sort of swept Paige's legs and she fell. Yeah, I don't know what that was all about. I was disappointed thoroughly by that match. I was like, you know, I thought they were going to bring it and they didn't.
No, so.
And the ending, she sort of like tapped out to the Black Widow like within seconds, just like it was really fast.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It's just like, well, we've done that before.
And then before we move on to our what's our segment for WrestleMania 27? What's our segment thing? What's it called again?
Book of the Match.
Book of the Match. That's such a terrible name.
It is.
Before
he said on the podcast called Going In Raw.
No, that's a great name.
It is a great name.
That's a fantastic name. The Hell in a Cell match. Seth Rollins defeated Dean Ambrose with help from Bray Wyatt. I thought it was as far as. The modern era, like what you can do with the cell, they did as much as they could do, and I thought it was entertaining as hell.
It was a very good match. It did feel a little Mankind Undertaker light.
Yeah, and everything's going to be. I mean,
that's the gold standard of Hell in the Cell
matches. I was texting Larson the other day. I was like, you know, in terms of modern day Hell in the Cell matches, the End of an Era match, which was Triple H versus Undertaker 2, that was in the cell.
That was very good.
That was a great match.
Yeah, that was more storytelling than the cell was, just kept everything kind of in the ring or in the ring area, but that was all about the...
The cell was the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Everything else was
the storytelling between the three guys in the ring, though.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that should have kind of finished the Hell in the Cell thing, because last night was as... It sort of made me think that the cell kind of confined those two, because we've seen better matches.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like
they knew what, you know, obviously they know what the finish is. Mm-hmm. And so they said, okay, we're going to give the audience, you know, these four or five good spots
mm-hmm.
where people take damage, but we're not going to really concern ourselves. Because beyond the opening segment where Ambrose climbed the top of the cell and was trying to get Rollins up, and there was that, you know, where Mercury and Noble went up and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Beyond that, there wasn't a whole lot of storytelling going on in the match.
Yeah.
Like, Ambrose had one moment where he was looking at Cameron, he was talking to him. It's like, you know, you stab me in the back, you son of a bitch. Otherwise, there really wasn't a lot of emotion in the match, I didn't feel like.
Yeah. And it was an entertaining as hell match, though.
Yeah, it was entertaining, but, it did elevate above, you know, some high spots and then the kind of awkwardly shoehorned finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. But the bit was at the start with Dean Ambrose when he's just sort of standing there at the thing and he just kind of looks up the cell, looks back, and goes, "We're all gonna die tonight," and then starts climbing the cell. Beautiful.
Yeah,
I was legitimately freaked out because I had felt that Ambrose and Rollins are the type of guys who want to one up everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And so I did have that sense of foreboding at the beginning when he immediately climbs up there. It's like, oh dude, they're gonna do something. They're going to take some risk that's just way too much. And I for sure thought there was going to be blood. And, you know, he had the kendo stick immediately. Oh, that was great.
In a sheath. In a sheath for it. That was beautiful.
It looked like he made that at home. That's
what I thought. I know. Did. Like, he's on Twitch, like, showing his crafting of the kendo stick sheath.
Pinterest, surely.
Yeah, exactly. And then he sells them on Etsy. No, it was entertaining. The finish bummed me out, though, because I thought this was the close of their... I mean, they're going to be going for the next 10, 15 years, these two.
Yeah.
But for now, it seems like they're both moving on, obviously. Mm. And I thought that this needed... Like
it needed to end. It needed an underline under. Yeah. Like yeah. It didn't need dot dot dot. It needed okay. That was round one. We may come back to this later, but it just needed to finish because it's been so bigged up. If you big everything up, and then at the climax start a new story off, you never finish anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just so the next match isn't going off of all this momentum. You sacrificed all of that momentum and everything, and Dean Ambrose finally getting the victory just to start a new feud off.
Yeah,
like if he had won and then Bray had come out.
Yeah.
Or even save it for tonight.
It would have been fine.
Yeah.
It would have been fine. It would have been even better because then he would have got the victory celebrating and then widget starts happening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like give him like half a second to celebrate and then he's back down the hole again with Bray Wyatt. And then they did that weird hologram, Tupac hologram thing, which was just kind of weird.
They're really making Bray the new Undertaker.
Which I'm totally cool with.
Yeah,
like,
I am too.
When he came out like that, I was like, this is fucking rad. I love Bray Wyatt. Like, as disappointed as I was with the, like, the fact that they have elevated him to, you know, to, I mean, because this is going to be, their feud is going to be the highlight. It's never going to be the main event, but it's going to be the highlight of the card no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it, in terms of the finish of the Hell in the Cell, you're absolutely right. It felt, I think everybody just felt robbed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, especially, it's a Hell in the Cell. The whole point is you're locked in. Mm-hmm. No one comes in. That's the fun of it, is you finally get resolution. You stick him in a cage, you stick him in a Hell in a Cell, you get that resolution of now we can finally do it. And it just, they just sort of threw it away a bit.
Yeah.
Which
is
irritating. I love Bray, and I think this is going to be a great feud, but I really wanted that last one to finish, you know?
It took away from everything. It's like, you know, because we're huge Bray marks also, and it's like, as much as we want to see Bray, like...
I needed that finish. I just needed it to happen.
Yeah. Needed the finish first, and then we can be like, oh crap, this is going to be great because now Bray is getting in the mix.
I mean, what you need to do is Dean wins it and is all like, I've won, yay, and then just starts beating Seth up and just starts getting revenge. It's like, now I'm going to fuck you. And then Bray attacks him. You took my revenge from me, but he still got the win.
Yeah.
That's how they should have played it.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're gonna wait to WrestleMania to finish that one off. Let them.
Quite possibly.
Rollins and Ambrose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me
you'll have Rollins go off and do his feud with Orton and Ambrose and Bray, and they'll do that, you know, until whatever. What, it's not Elimination Chamber anymore. They changed the name of it until then, and then you'll plant the seeds for the WrestleMania.
They changed Elimination Chamber.
They got rid of it.
Yeah, they got rid
of it.
Call
it Fast Track.
Fast Lane.
Fast Lane. I thought it was. I heard it was either lane. Fast Lane or. I know it's terrible, right?
It's awful.
It's gonna be a racing pay per view.
Everybody in
go-karts. Games on motorcycles. Everybody. Wrestling on motorcycles, that'd be
exactly.
great.
Exactly. Bicycles, like GTA.
I like in the final match, there was when Dean was standing on top and Seth was climbing up, JBL uttered, "Can you ever remember a Hell in a Cell starting this way?"
Actually, yeah.
That's the only one I've been watching for just over a year. Yes, I could recall one, actually.
One thing that really stood out and took me by surprise, and it made me wonder if they have to do tests and everything to see if it shows up, but the fact they literally cut out handholds, like, into the cage.
Well,
like,
there was footrests on the side. They were doing the spot where they filmed the tables.
There were a couple little
footrests on there, too.
Yeah.
But the handholds really read. Yeah,
the handholds really read, you know.
Read big time.
Whatever. Let's move on to...
We need R-Truth dancing between our segments just to kill any tension the previous bit had.
Wait, what's that?
Did you not see it at the network? When it finished, you had that wonderful... You had the whatever ending it was. And then it just sort of was black for a little while. And then it was just R-Truth dancing to his music.
It got me happy. I was like, yes, it's R-Truth. And then his little rap. I love that shit. That's great.
That's an interesting
I know, it's like super dramatic. Bray Wyatt, Undertaker comes out. And then, hey, what's up? You're watching The Truth.
Smiling,
the WWE Network.
Dancing. Oh, it's beautiful. It's
fantastic.
It was absolutely beautiful.
Okay, so, book of the match.
Yes.
Oh my God, where to begin? WrestleMania 27. I think we're gonna have to get us a good book of the match for next month.
That's what I was telling Dan. I was thinking Survivor Series 98.
Yeah, let's do the 180 of this one, and let's do the best one.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to get through, hopefully, let's see, we're at 51 minutes So hopefully we won't have to spend too long on a four-hour pay-per-view.
Four hours.
Apparently there is no storylines leading up to the pay-per-view, and I don't recall any storylines really following the pay-per-view. And I was telling Dan before we went on that I remember going to your house, Steve, and watching this.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it was after watching this pay-per-view that I decided I'm going to start watching wrestling again.
Okay, all right. That's weird don't that it's this one, though. Yeah, I know. Why this one of any of them? That's bizarre.
I don't know. I have no clue. Yeah.
Where did this one start? What was the first match on?
It was Del Rio and Edge.
Before there was a match, The Rock came out and spouted the same. I don't get the appeal of The Rock yet, because he comes out and says the same things and then goes away. It's really strange. Like, for someone who doesn't know The Rock's catchphrases, just hearing everybody go nuts for these things, because I don't have the history, so there's me just sitting there going, yeah, I know he was going to say that.
It's a triggered response at this point. Yeah. Because when we watch Survivor Series 98, you will see exactly why people love The Rock so much, because he was the best mic guy of his generation.
Yeah.
When he was a heel and people hated him, but he was so damn entertaining.
The people embraced him, yeah.
That they embraced him. And he was the funniest fucking person on a mic. And
the catchphrases he has now are what The Rock used to be, kind of distilled to its essence. You know, he had, you know, I forgot how many years, the 6 or 7 years he was a full-time wrestler. You know, he would pepper those catchphrases in most of his promos, but there would always be something that leads up to it. But now it's like every time he comes out, it feels kind of like The Rock's greatest hits.
He
did it on Raw as well, because he came out against Rusev in the only Raw that I watched this week, because everyone had time to watch. But he came out against Rusev and was doing all this stuff, and then just went away. It was quite nice though, just to see it. That was my first ever surprise appearance, because they've always been telegraphed since I've been watching it. It's the first time ever's gone, it's The Rock, way. That was great.
Yeah, the Foley one they did last.
Oh, that was
really
fantastic
too. That was really good. Like, his
Foley came back.
Yeah, last week to hype up the Hell in the Cell, and it's crazy. Like, he was always the best on the mic, but his spoken word tour thing that he does evidently has like even elevated it further, because he was even better this past Raw. Mm-hmm. He's fucking great. I love.
Yeah, he's really good.
Me too.
But the Rock, like, just get back to The Rock really quick. Like, it's not even that it's like his greatest hits. It's as if he went away, became a Christian motivational speaker, and that's what he comes back with. Because it's his greatest hits, but also like PG. And I mean, he makes it a bit PG-13-ish.
Yeah.
But back in the day when he was calling everybody a retard and saying things that you could say back then, you know, that was the best of it. And all that stripped away. To just, I guess what you're saying, is the essence. But without that gristle, there's just nothing there. Like, it's just all empty. Like,
oh, yeah.
Shit you'd expect to hear from a personal trainer, you know. And then he calls John Cena Fruity Pebbles. That's the only time that I can recall in the modern day sort of rooting for Cena is when The Rock came back. Because it was so annoying that everybody just loved The Rock and he's been gone. And it's like, no, you're a fucking part-timer, dude. Like, you haven't been here. And say what you will about Cena, he's there all the time.
Every day.
He's putting everything into this, and he's doing, busting his ass. And then you come back, say a couple of shitty catchphrases, and the people eat it up. And it made me hate everybody and The Rock.
Yep.
Pretty much.
And then you got two WrestleMania main events out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And... Yeah, it just, I don't know, that all bugged me. Like, I was rooting for him. I was like, you know what, I don't like Cena, but I'd rather see him go over than The Rock. But we knew from day one what
was
going to
happen,
you know?
Yeah.
It was going to be, The Rock's going to win the first one, Cena's going to take it the second one.
Yeah.
But, see, I had it somewhere. Where's the rest of the...
The card?
The card, yeah.
It was Del Rio and Edge that started the show off.
Del Rio and Edge, I remember this very specifically watching this, because because we all knew that, like, Del Rio was supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget how. I think it just made sense. Like, storyline, it just
made
sense.
And you were a huge Del Rio guy at the time.
At the time, I loved Del Rio because he had those great, like, video vignettes. And he was just, like, a rich guy, and he would say fucked up things. And he had, like, he would come in with a new car every week. And I loved that he had his own Spanish ring announcer. Like, I just loved his packaging was great.
Oh, it was great, yeah.
He was never a great wrestler or anything, but he could put on a match.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a huge, I was like, okay, cool. I'm ready for a Del Rio title run with this shitty world championship that nobody cares about.
And, is that why it was the first match? The World Championship was first.
I think so. I mean, they kicked it off with that piece of crap. And then, but then if you watch the match, like, it's kind of a bummer. Like, so Edge retired the next night because his neck was fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And this was his, the reason why he won is because he had never retained or won a title, or the big title, at a WrestleMania. And so that was his send-off. And, you know, it's like, that's fine. Okay, whatever. He's not going to do the business for Del Rio. That kind of sucks. But, and then at the end of the match, they key his car.
Yeah.
And that seemed really mean.
They smashed it up Street Fighter 2 style-y, yeah.
They did. And it was like, it kind of felt like, that's just kind of mean-spirited. Like, you just beat the guy. You're kind of going over the line. Like, Del Rio, I don't think he, like, tried to cheat or anything during the match. Then they just started keying up, and they're supposed to be the faces. I'm like, that's fucked up. Why are you doing that? That's mean.
Throw stairs at him. That's what the faces do.
Yeah, exactly.
I had some questions before this match even began that you're going to need to answer because I genuinely still don't know. Why was coal in a box?
Oh, the coal mine.
The coal mine. Because his feud with Lawler was forever. And it got to the point where Lawler couldn't... Because it was like a really messed up feud, too. Like, Cole would bring out his alcoholic son, and his son would say rude things to Lawler, like, you're a crappy dad, and fuck you, dad, and stuff like that. And then I forget exactly, like, he would just do that over and over again. He would be psychologically tormenting Jerry Lawler. And so Lawler, I think, at one point probably cracked on him and tried to beat him up. And so he had, like, a box made, and he'd call it the coal mine, and everybody was his coal miners.
Okay.
it was the longest, most annoying feud.
It felt like it was 4 months of that, even following WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Okay, I have another. Actually, no. The other question we'll bring up later because it's bigger later. Oh, because at the start he said it was facing Jerry, and I was like, oh, it means he's going to be having a shout at him or something. And then I was like, oh god, I flicked through the things at the bottom, like, oh god, there's genuinely going to be a match.
Yeah. Oh, it was awful. It was like the thing that was really, really annoying about it was they had to incorporate Cole, who's their play-by-play guy. I guess maybe they brought in Josh Matthews to do play-by-play, but I'm pretty sure for the most part it was Cole, Lawler, and maybe one other person. And I think Cole was still doing play-by-play, but as a heel and as a guy who hated Lawler.
Yeah.
And it made for the worst announcing you'll ever hear. It was so fucking annoying.
Yeah, I had to mute halfway through this because I just couldn't take him anymore.
Oh man, it was terrible. It was absolutely awful. And it was just, and it was funny because I think there was quite a bit of feuding after it, but eventually they just dropped it and everything was fine again.
Yeah, they were friends.
And at that point, it was like, you know what? If that's the Cole, like, you're showing me how bad it could be. I'm fine with Cole. Like, you know, just just don't make him a feud. Don't give him a personality. No, you know, don't do that.
He confused being a heel with just being a shouty, annoying dickhead.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just very annoying and loud and just not saying anything worth saying. Just constantly. No. It's like, because JBL's a bit like this nowadays. He just says the most stupid stuff. Like, oh, of course, that's an absolutely fine thing. It's a fine thing to do. He's stabbed him in the eyes twice. Everyone does that. It's fine. I did that back in the day. But Cole was just screaming and shouting and making me want to kill him.
Oh, it's terrible. It was absolutely terrible.
Not in a genuine heel way, just in a very irritating...
It's like, we just don't want you around way, exactly.
Yeah, it's like they made him successfully irritating, but at the end of the day, that just means he's irritating.
Yeah
exactly. Let's see here. We had...
I got to bounce. Carry on.
All right, sounds good. All right, dude.
Tap out. It's the end of it.
Then we have Cody Rhodes and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, why was Rey Mysterio dressed up like Captain America?
He used to do that back in the day. He used to dress up like Spider-Man. He would dress up as the Phantom. Then I think he stopped for a spell. Like, when he got to the WWF, or WWE rather, and he got chunky, like, he was just doing his own thing. Like, he would just make his cool Rey Mysterio suits. But then for whatever reason, I don't know, he dressed up as Captain America. He would always do that back in the day, though.
It's just a very strange... I wasn't quite expecting it. I thought there was actually a plot point to it, and then it just was a thing that happened. But that happened so much of this. I was like, is this actually a plot point, or is this just a thing they're doing? I don't know.
Whoever they get to beat Rusev, they should have him in a Captain America outfit.
They should just bring in the guy who plays Captain America and just whack him with
his shoe.
Clang!
Clang.
That would be good. And they also had Cody was the Phantom of the Opera or something.
He had a great gimmick where he was kind of like the narcissist. Like he would come out and he would have a mirror and he would be very happy. It was, what was his fucking name? It was something Dashing Cody Rhodes. Uh-huh. And he would just be very happy with the way he looked. Like his face was everything. And he even had, like, it was great because he'd come out and, like, on the video screen right behind him, there'd be, like, just his picture of him smiling and, yep, like, in a mirror or something. I don't know. It was great. But then his storyline was somebody, I think he, like, broke his cheekbone or something.
Ray hit him with he had his knee pad on. It was at the start of this.
Okay.
Ray clucked him with his knee pad and that broke his nose or something.
Oh, okay, okay.
So
there
you go.
This
was the end of that feud, I believe.
Okay, okay. And so, yeah, he would wear... It was great because he would wear his face mask and he would think that he was hideous. So he would tell people not to look at him. And then for a spell, I forget if it was before or after this, he would have guys with him, like his little crew with him. And they would put paper bags because I think he wore a paper bag that said, like, don't look at my face or something. And then he would start putting paper bags on people in the audience that he thought were ugly, which was great. Like, Cody was always very inventive with all of his shit. And so, this was the culmination of their feud. Yeah,
yeah. This was. I don't remember much of this match because all my notes are about how annoying Cole is.
Yeah, I know. It ruined everything. My only thing about Cody back then, like this is before he was doing the Stardust thing, obviously, is that he has the skinny.
He's Stardust.
I'm sorry. He has the skinniest legs. Like, I don't know if you know, like, most people, though, wear, like, knee pads and then, like, long boots. But he wore, like, the boots that only went like, halfway up his shin. And so you see how skinny his, like, he just has regular guy legs. And it always bugs his shit. I don't know why it bugs me. But he just has the skinniest little legs.
It's like Lesnar. Lesnar's just, you can tell Lesnar's just unstable at the top because he's like, just giant. He's just it's just like he's got pipe cleaners sticking out his ass. And that's it.
Exactly.
But those legs are thicker than me sort of thing. But yeah, it's just the comparison thing.
Compared to his giant purple head on his shoulders. Yeah. Then we had a Big
Snoop
Show.
Snoop Dogg. Now Snoop Dogg came out.
Oh, God.
And there was a thing about people trying to rap.
Yeah.
This whole thing felt like an SNL parody of Dodo E.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was like a glimpse into a parallel universe because it had all the same people that I know. I'm like the first one that
yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah.
But everybody was a bit off.
Everybody's a little bit
wrong.
Different. That's always the trip about watching something from like 2, 3, 4 years ago is that everybody's still there, but they're all a little bit different. And there'll be like somebody who's like, who the fuck is this guy? Yeah. Yeah, the Snoop Dogg part and then Hornswoggle rapped at the end.
Yeah.
It was just, it's so cringeworthy. It's so fucking bad. You sit there and it's like, at first you're like, oh good, I don't have to hear Cole, but then it's that. And it's like,
yeah,
no good.
But that was a match. I've only got two lines for this next match. It was Slater, Gabriel, Jackson, and Barrett versus Big Show, Kane, Santino, and Kofi, and it was under a minute long, as far as
yeah.
I could tell.
That's what I say. Yeah, it says here time 1:35. And yeah, literally, wow. You're right. It was that long. And
all I wrote for this one was the core. Never heard of them, and then oh, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. They were around for a split second. There was actually a decent the origin of the core. Had you heard of the Nexus?
I heard of the Nexus, yes.
Okay. The Nexus was Wade, but was the core minus Ezekiel Jackson plus a couple other guys, Daniel Bryan, Ryback.
Yes.
They had come out of the first wave, of NXT, and they had come in at the end of one of the Raws. And they had just annihilated John Cena. And that was their big splash.
Yeah.
It was their kind of NWO type thing. Like, we're the new blood.
Yeah.
And they came in and made a huge splash. And then they did this weird thing where, you know, they had to do something with it. And the feud with Wade Barrett and John Cena, which should have really elevated. They really wanted to get Wade Barrett up to main event status really quickly. And they were on their way because it was a legit feud. And then I think he got injured. And then it just fell apart. And then CM Punk came in and to reintroduce him because he was away on injury and to reintroduce him, he took over the Nexus somehow. And then they kicked out Wade Barrett and then I guess everybody got pissed off with CM Punk. So they all came and formed something called the Core. And I didn't understand why they called it the core. I didn't know why there was two R's in it. I don't know who this Ezekiel Jackson guy is and why he showed up. And it was all weird. It was a terrible logo, terrible packaging. And they just got killed every go.
Every single time they came out. Somehow tweeted by Santino.
Somehow Heath Slater and that little guy, what's his face, Justin Gabriel, won the tag titles. But then even they lost him to Big Show and Kane. Like, it was bizarre. They just lost every time out. I don't know. It was annoying.
It was weird seeing, like, an actual squash match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, and just like, what is this?
And an eight-team tag match where, like, literally each guy is supposed to get in there and have at least a minute.
Yeah.
Yet this lasted a minute and a half, less than 90 seconds. It's like each guy, that's an average of, what, about 10, 12 seconds per man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was just easily forgettable. And that was one of those things. They're just trying to stuff the show with as many people as they could. You know?
Yeah.
That's what that was. Let's see here. What happened next? Was it
Punk versus Orton?
It was a good match, if I remember correctly.
Very good match. I enjoyed that. I do like Punk and Orton.
Yeah, they work well. And Punk is one of those guys, he can have a good match with pretty much anybody.
It was. I remember it being a surprisingly slow match because of Randy's. They said Randy had an injured knee.
Okay, yeah.
And so it was a very... I genuinely thought he had got an injury because it was especially for those two, it was a very slow match.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird.
When CM Punk came back from injury, they were really trying to get him into a meaningful program. And so they were like... that. His motivation was weird. Like, it was, you punted me in the head 2 years ago. It's like, this is wrestling. Nobody has a memory for anything. Why are you talking about something that happened 2 years ago? So this didn't really have a whole lot of heat behind it, but it was a good match. These guys, can put on a good... And this is when Punk was the leader of the Nexus, which never really made any sense either. They were just trying to do stuff with him because they were like, you know what? He's cool. He's CM Punk. He can do something. And it was right after this that he did his infamous pipe bomb thing, and they got him into... Yes. You know, he caught fire, basically, and then he, you know...
Yeah.
He
ran away from us.
Yeah, and they took his ball and left. But this is right before all this, so he was just about to catch fire, and it was a good match.
Yeah, it was good that he had a great RKO dodge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he was going for it, he just sort of ducked out of it, which was absolutely,
That was the cool thing. That's the cool thing about CM Punk and a lot of these new guys is that they sort of treat moves like they're really going to hurt them. You know, it's like, oh my God, I just got away from that RKO, which is like a bullet to the face. You know, it's like, I really dodged that bullet. And that was the cool thing about Punk is that he was one of those guys that really made it seem like it wasn't, you know, like it was semi-real, you know? Like, we all know it's fake, but it'd be nice if they acted like it hurt. It'd be nice if they acted like it was going to do some damage.
Yeah. It was quite nice. And then there was a thing with American Mr. Bean. I don't know who this person was. I've never seen them before. I can't remember the name of them. There's a guy in a bow tie did a sketch with The Rock.
Oh, the American, that's right. Pee Wee Herman.
That was it.
Pee Wee Herman was my childhood idol. I loved Pee Wee Herman.
Who the hell is Pee Wee Herman?
Oh, you have to Wikipedia Pee Wee Herman. He's got the greatest story ever because he came up in like, I think Chicago improv, something like that. And then he was an American pop culture icon in the 80s. Like, he had his own show, which was... It was like a children's show, but really weird and surreal. And everybody, like all the adults, loved it too, because like it was peppered with all these like innuendos and shit. And it was very wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then he had a great movie directed by Tim Burton pre-Batman, and it was great and it was hilarious and it was weird and he was really dark in it. And then the actor in 1991 got caught masturbating in an adult theater, in a porno theater. And it was like the first real case, I think, of like a celebrity who was, you know, a pretty decent celebrity in sort of the pop culture way anyways. And it was Pee Wee Herman, who was like a child, you know, mainly for the kids. And he got caught jacking off in a porno theater. And it was huge news. And it killed his career for like a good 5 years. And then he made his return at the MTV VMAs. And everybody like cheered the hell out of him because at that point it was like, who cares? He was jacking off, big deal. and then he showed up. He totally is the American Mr. Bean. I've never heard him described that way, but he's totally the American Mr. Bean.
Yeah, ruined everything.
Yeah.
Right, then.
It was bad. It was
Hall
bad,
of Fame,
but yeah.
Was the next thing. There was a Hall of Fame inductees. I have a question mark on one of them.
Okay.
Drew Carey is in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Now, I know Drew Carey was in the wrestling thing, but why did he get a spot in the Hall of Fame?
Vince loves celebrities. Uh-huh. Like, it's the same reason, like, Donald Trump is in there, and...
Oh, that's horrible news.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible.
That's devalued the Hall of Fame in my eyes forever.
There's plenty of people in the Hall of Fame that can devalue it, including, like, I don't know if you know who Bob Eubanks is.
I do not.
Oh, you shouldn't. There's no reason for you to know who he is. He's in it. God, any number of... There's like a whole celebrity wing. And Drew Carey, I forget. Why was Drew Carey? Because he did, like, some spots with... Why was Drew Carey?
He entered the Royal Rumble. I saw that in something on the network at some point. But I don't know why he would get a Hall of Fame spot for that.
Because it's Vince is obsessed.
If they're that easy, I will enter a Royal Rumble. I'm just saying that now.
Well, you're the YouTube champion, so you should. Yeah. You're well on your way. You should be going there soon. But that was a Shawn Michaels year. And that was the year that Abdullah the Butcher.
He was the first one.
And he later on, now he's known for giving wrestlers hepatitis C because he wrestles and he has hepatitis C and he's like a really bloody wrestler. I don't think nobody books him now, but it came out that he gave a couple wrestlers hep C.
Jesus Christ.
And so like superstar Billy Graham, who's like an old school wrestler, hates the WWE now. Because they're like, I'm not going to talk to the WWE. I'm not going to do anything with them until they take Abdullah out because he gave me Hep C.
Yeah.
It's so wrestling, such a fucked up thing.
It really is.
It's really bad, dude.
It's entertaining, though. Apart from when it isn't. And that leads us happily on.
Yeah. Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler. The only redeeming quality of this is Stone Cold.
I never
Cold
have
Steve
to watch
Austin.
It again.
But Steve Austin is in it.
Well, yeah. there is an actual... One of the most shocking parts of this match was a stunner got sort of no response near the end.
Yeah.
Like, there was... we'll get to that. We'll get to the end. We'll get to the end. Okay. We'll talk through this 27-hour-long match.
It was...
Two sittings it took me to go through this thing. I had to give up halfway through, go away and do something to make me happy again.
1, 2, 3, 4. There. Okay, hold on. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 10 matches. This is the fourth longest.
This
took less time than Randy Orton and CM Punk. It took less time than Undertaker, and it took less time than the main event. And that's it. Everything else went low. Fewer minutes. Yeah. And that's the actual match itself. That's bell to bell. That's not including the 18 minutes of build up,
and the shit at the end.
Yeah.
Which you'll get. So my notes of this one are they're filled with spite.
Oh, I'm sure.
I quite like another start with Stone Cold nearly killed Swagger. That's gonna
he
be
did. He totally did. That was an entertaining spot. Like Swagger waited till the last fight. Like, Stone Cold was not gonna stop.
No,
that wasn't happening. This was like around the time when Stone Cold like. Like, these days, Stone Cold is very entertaining. He's got his podcast. He's fantastic. I think this was around the time when he was, like, not quite trying to do the Hollywood thing and not trying to get back into the spotlight. And so he still had kind of a weird, drunken edge to him. like, you could tell Stone Cold really didn't give a shit about anything. And so if he did run over Jack Swagger, he'd be okay with it. He waited till the last minute to jump out of that fucking.
He waited till like slightly later than that. I think you got lucky on that.
He really did. Like, I'm surprised his foot didn't get clipped and he like sort of spun around
and kicked a child in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been hilarious.
Yeah. Could you imagine if like Stone Cold did like sort of hit him or swerve and like it just goes out of control and into the crowd, you know?
It explodes.
Like right there at WrestleMania 27, it's just people burning and shit.
And nobody cares. They already left because this match was next. This is the bathroom break match.
Yeah,
they made it extra long.
Been in the bathroom for a long time on this one.
If you've not actually seen this match, listening to this, please don't.
Yeah,
just don't put yourself through it. So it's Cole and Jerry. It starts with Cole hiding in the box, and then Jerry goes and gets him. And it had a wonderful line from whoever was on the... Is it Josh on the announcing team?
Josh Matthews, yeah.
Yeah, he said, he can't escape, the door is locked. And then the camera cuts for shot, and the door's just
literally
wide
open. I think the camera was on the door when he said that. Like, you could see it, because I remember thinking that too. I was like, the door is way open. It is not locked at all.
He could just walk out.
Anybody, yeah, you could just walk in or out. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, so my notes are basically my disbelief that this is going to be a full-length match, and then I check the times with it. Oh, God, it's longer than the heavyweight championship match.
It's yeah, exactly. It's longer than a full-length match.
When Jerry was in a hold, Josh said, there's anguish on the face of everyone in the WWE universe. And I went, yeah, but not for the reason you think.
Not for any dramatic reason. They just hate this. Yeah. We were hating it at the time. Oh.
I've got a note here that just says, I can feel the passage of time.
Yeah.
That's all it says. It was very... Yeah. The ankle lock. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Winced.
Yeah.
Just please make it stop.
It was awful.
He threw the towel in and Stone Cold didn't end it, which I considered a heel turn. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was a stunner. The crowd came back from their naps and were like, yeah, there's a thing.
Yeah.
King did a drop kick to Cole and actually quite badly caught him in the face. And I can tell that it quite badly caught him in the face because Austin pisses himself laughing. He gets it and Austin just pulls back and he's laughing to himself. So he has to turn around and go, oh, geez.
Lawler, if I remember correctly, I remember when we watched this over Larson's, Lawler got huge air on that jump kick, didn't he?
Or the drop kick. Really, it was high.
He got high air on that. I was really surprised. I was like, that looked like a stunt double kick right there. That was crazy.
Yeah, so that happened. And then there was a Booker T. It finished after 8 years with a pin. He did. That he was about to pin him and he was about to win, and then King pulled him up and was like, oh, we're going to have some fun with him.
Yeah.
That's a heel turn.
That was a heel turn, yeah.
That's a heel turn as well. That was, oh, God. Yeah, so there was a, it finished. After the longest time in the universe, it finished.
It finally
and then
finished,
Booker T went, I'm going to go and party with them. And
that was, I love that.
Bit
that
of Rooney.
Great.
And then got stunned and spat out the beer as he arced over himself.
Booker T would sell those stunners like nobody else, because he would do that. Like, he would, and I think it happened a couple times. He'd try to party with Stone Cold. He'd get a beer and he'd take a swig of beer, and then he'd get stunned. And that just rainbow, that waterfall of beer would just come out, and it would go so high, and he would sell the shit out of the stunner. I love Booker T. He's fucking great.
Yeah. And then the single line in capital letters is, did the arena just get a text? What the fuck is the anonymous Raw General Manager, which I have spelt with A-N-N-N. Good start, me.
Yeah.
The anonymous Raw General Manager. What's this about?
All right, man. It was just, at the time, there were so many shitty storylines. I don't know what they're even thinking. It was originally, apparently, supposed to be... it was just a way to introduce a heel, like a mystery, an intrigue, a heel element without actually introducing a heel. It would always be Cole reading from the stupid laptop, and then when the camera would cut to the reverse angle, you would see the fucking paper that they taped. Like, they couldn't just bring up a text file and write, or an email and pay, like a Gmail thing. They couldn't just write it on the thing.
To be fair, with the length of that coal match,
the battery would have died.
Been so dead by that point.
But it was the same thing all the time. Like, it would just be a piece of paper that they'd be reading from, not even on the keyboard. It'd be on the screen, and the camera would see it full on. And so it was just horrible. And so eventually, surprise, surprise, the angle was just dropped. I think somebody just ended up destroying the laptop. And for whatever reason, they never got a new one to continue it. And I think a year later at like Raw 1000. Okay, originally I read it was supposed they were going to have it be Triple H.
Uh-huh.
And that would have made some amount of storyline logic given who the anonymous GM liked and didn't like and who they screwed over and didn't screw over. That would have made some storyline logic. Yeah. But just to make it a joke... And to end it, they made it Hornswoggle. Which didn't make, it wasn't supposed to make a lick of sense because it was like at Raw 1000 or an old school Raw where they just played it for a joke, you know? And okay. It made zero sense. It was annoying as shit because you always knew that it was just, you were going to get the stupid text message. And I remember back then, especially, I've changed it since then, but back then, you know, it would happen and you check your phone and then you'd realize, oh God, they're doing this again. It wasn't my phone. So annoying. So like, it was as if they just trolled everybody. That's what they were trying to do, was to see how far they could test the limits of the WWE audience as to what they could take between the anonymous Raw GM and fucking Michael Cole. It was like, let's see what we can do to fuck with these people.
Yeah.
And see how much they can take.
Well, I couldn't take much more of this, to be perfect. If this was the start, I wouldn't have watched ever again.
Yeah.
I dodged to WrestleMania by 2 years of an awful one. I actually haven't seen the one in between, so maybe that's awful too.
And yet, Larson, this is the one that made him decide, I'm going to get back into wrestling now.
It's because he is some sort of crazy man.
He is, absolutely.
So yes, after the general manager went, bleep, bleep, mm-hmm. That's my text message impression. Mm-hmm. Cole wins, yay! And then the crowd started chanting bullshit.
Which is a surprisingly subdued response.
My response is Cole's chanting bullshit, I concur. Crowd's chanting bullshit. And then Josh got stunned. I don't know how that happened, but there was no reaction. Everyone was like dead inside at this point. Like, he was stunned. I can't remember how he got the ring, but he was stunned, and then it just sort of, it was like nothing. And Stone Cold gets up with his, and the crowd sort of like, just fuck off, mate. We're done here. Please let us leave. We're just like, we're 7 hours into this WrestleMania. Yeah, we'd like to go home now.
I was stunned because I went to Larson's, I don't know, last weekend, I guess, to watch it, and we're sitting there having some beers and stuff. And then I had to leave before, right during the Snooki match, towards the end, like right before the main event. And I looked at my watch. I was like, wait a second, this thing's been going for 3 hours. And I just got this stunned look at my face and looked at Larson. I was like, this is a 4-hour pay-per-view. I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah, WrestleMania tends to be 4 hours. I thought the most recent
one was. It's like, I think it was three, wasn't it?
I swear it was 4 hours.
Oh, maybe you're... No.
I always thought WrestleMania was a special 4-hour show.
Oh, I'll look it up. Hold on a second. I could be completely wrong about that.
We'll start off on the next match, which was an apology note for the previous one.
Yeah.
Undertaker versus Triple H, which is actually going down as one of my favorite wrestling matches of all time.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing. Right, I was on the edge of my seat, and it dawned on me when I was like, holy shit, Undertaker's going to lose it here. He's going to end the streak.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. That's not going to... It completely drew me in. That was absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
That, although, the lights darkened, gongs went off, and that was Triple H's entrance.
Oh, he dolls it up for WrestleMania, dude. That's what he does. He puts on his like fancy mask, and he's got his chainmail and everything.
Darkened the arena, went black, and it was bong with a bit of rock music. I thought, oh, it's a new Undertaker entrance, but it wasn't. It was Triple H. It was just weird that it was like everything going black gong is very much taken in the world of WWE. That's sort of taken. That's done, and apparently, Trips just decided that was his for this one.
Yeah, he's like, you know, when in Rome, you know, I'm with the Undertaker now, so I'm gonna take some of his mojo. I'm gonna get into the spirit of things. Yeah,
should have come out just dressed as the Undertaker. Da, da, da.
Yeah,
although I heard there was a fake Undertaker at some point, so fuck it, that's already been done.
Yeah, there was a fake Undertaker. Yep.
Undertaker's entrance was really low key. He just came out like normal. It was like, yep, I'm here, I'm Undertaker.
Yeah,
like because the first one I saw had the really creepy hands reaching through the fog, which looked absolutely amazing.
Oh yeah, sometimes he'd have Druids come out with him. He would do all sorts of stuff. There was that one time, you should look this up, there was one time the Undertaker came out and his pyro caught him on fire.
Oh my god.
On accident. Like, not like, you know, that wasn't a part of it. It'd be great if he came out literally on fire, but no, his pyro caught him on fire.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it was pretty scary.
Well, considering he's got the very like the sort of stoic and solid entrance, just the slight, what did he do? Did he like roll around the ground going, I'm on fire?
I know it exploded on him, and then maybe he just took off. I think I think he got rushed by security or whoever, and was maybe they had a fire. I don't know. I forget. I just know there was a little bit of You know what? I think, dude. I think there was just a little bit of stumbling, and then he continued to the ring.
Yeah, I mean, in Undertaker Mankind, when he drops into the ring onto his broken foot, and he has that little hop, he flicks his head back, and he's back. He's
and
back
he's
as
fine,
the Undertaker.
Yeah. Although it was kind of funny, he probably just thought, "I'm not gonna go down to a fucking twisted ankle when this guy literally just got thrown off the cage and thrown through the cage. I can't, like, you know, oh, I can't carefully climb down and get a sprained ankle and oh, that hurts."
Yeah, but that was an amazing
Triple
match.
H and yeah, you should watch the following year when HBK I think ends up being the guest referee. And it's maybe even better, and it's in the Hell in the Cell, and it's even better in my opinion than this one.
It was just like
three old guys showing up everybody on the card doing what they do best, and I think it was bloody, and it was just absolutely, and it should have been, in my opinion, it should have been Undertaker's last match. They literally call it the end of an era match because they were the last three sort of old school guys around. Mm. And it was amazing. And this was sort of the setup for that. It was a great match. And then, you know, Triple H wanted more for the next year in the Cell. So, yeah, this was a great match.
It was absolutely stunning. My favorite bit was when he's got the... I don't know what Undertaker's submission is because I've never seen it before.
I forget what it's... Yeah.
The Hell's Gate.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, okay.
And Triple H seems to be gone, but he keeps, like, twitching. And he looks like a wounded animal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just terrifying how, into it. That match made me really like Triple H's, because I haven't really seen a huge amount of Triple H. I mean, apart from like against Bryan and stuff.
Yeah.
So I see him very rarely, but that was a real sort of wow. I can see why he's popular.
He was always my favorite growing. Like when I was in college, like I always thought he was the cool. Like everybody, I was always a huge Austin fan, but in terms of like Triple H was always the best heel. Like he always knew how to get it done. You could always tell. He was kind of one of the smarter guys, and that was always the cool thing about it's like now he's basically running the company with Stephanie, is that like he always had a good head on his shoulders and he always respected the business. Like I remember watching this interview with him ages ago, and he said, in my opinion, you know, if I was running the show, Undertaker streak would never end. And I still firmly believe that he probably didn't want the Undertaker streak to end, and he was probably against it, and that was a Vince call to try to sell the network. But you know, that was always, I always kind of knew it kind of always sucked, because I was like, "There's no way Triple H is gonna tap out, or there's no way Triple H is gonna go over on the Undertaker," because I've heard Triple H say, you know, sort of out of character, that he doesn't want the streak to end, and so I doubt he would ever allow himself to be, you know, to pin the Undertaker. But they had so much drama in it. It's like maybe the Undertaker and him, or maybe the Undertaker's like, "Hey, I want to lose to you because you're a cool guy." But yeah,
I knew what was gonna happen because of the future. And I still completely with it. That was the sign of a very, very, very good match.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was the shining jewel.
And then Snooki happened.
So for this, on my playing on the network, it just kept randomly skipping forwards, and I didn't bother to correct
it. And it's funny because it's only a 3 minute 17 second match.
And what was great, because it sort of started skipping from sort of as Undertaker was sort of wandering off. And as it was jumping through, it was like, oh, here's some divas. I don't know who any of these are. And then it was just Ziggler getting kicked in the face. And I was like, how is Ziggler dying in a divas match? What is wrong with him?
Yeah, that's right. Ziggler was a pretty good heel back in the day. Like he would come out with Vicky Guerrero, so he was like her boy toy. Do you remember Vicky Guerrero? Yeah, she was around when you were watching.
Yeah, okay. She just left recently.
Yeah, that's right. And so they were kind of together, and then I never really... Michelle McCool, who's the Undertaker's wife now, and then Layla, I wasn't really into, like, I guess they were on SmackDown, because I don't... That was back when SmackDown and Raw were two different things. And so...
Yeah, that was something that was... I mean, from the games, all the games were about SmackDown versus Raw, because they were two different, essentially, companies, and they all fought each other. I'd like to see that again.
Yeah, me too. I know. It would... I mean, they unify, once they started cross-branding everything, they unify. I mean, that's why they kind of unified the belts, because it's like, why are you going to have a World Heavyweight Championship and then the WWE World Championship?
Yeah.
It's like, they should be of equal prestige, but they kind of weren't. And so they just unified them, which I thought was always a good idea. But it would be nice to see, like, you know, spread the roster out and do that. Yeah. But yeah, it was, you're not missing anything there. That this was another, like I said, Vince loves celebrities. They brought in Snooki from that shitty Jersey Shore show.
Oh, okay. I thought she was just a diva.
No, she was. Yeah, she was like, they brought her in from MTV. She was at the time, like, Jersey Shore was hot shit. It's an embarrassing moment in American pop culture that we gave a shit about that, but everybody did.
You cannot give American culture shit after that coal match. I'm just saying. That's the embarrassing part, really. Yeah.
But that's all wrestling. That's the problem, though. That's within the wrestling world. We're allowed to be embarrassed about wrestling because it's wrestling. Yes. But, like, you know, well, nobody cares about that. People actually cared about MTV and Jersey Shore. It's like, oh god, that's terrible. Like when the television signals are beamed out into space and the aliens see wrestling, they're not going to see the wrestling because that's not beamed out into space. They're going to see Jersey Shore. You know, that's kind of popular.
Yeah,
yeah.
But stop that. We should actually get a sign. NASA should be funded to stop that getting.
They really should be. Like, they're kind of useless.
Chase those waves down and shake them a bit so they look like something better.
Exactly. And then you got to see The Miz in the main event as the champion.
Miz. Not just The Miz.
Yeah.
Two Miz.
Yeah.
Because it was skipping and I had to restart it, I missed the entrance and there was like Miz and The Miz again. Who the fuck was that other guy? I never got the thing because I missed the start. I have no idea who it was. There was just Miz.
I'm about to blow your mind here. Uh-huh. The other Miz was the guy who's on the pre-show, who you probably really don't know who he is. On the pre-show, it's the girl, it's Booker T, Paul Heyman was on, and Alex Riley.
It's Alex Riley. The Miz, too.
He showed up. He was, I think, The Miz's, I think maybe in, like, Tough Enough or NXT. I could be completely wrong here. But I think he was The Miz's, like, The Miz was, like, his mentor. Where was he? Did he? NXT, yeah. He was a participant in the second season of NXT. And every NXT guy had a WWE guy to be their mentor, and The Miz was his, and they continue that into the storyline, and he was just his personal assistant because
his
The Miz
stunt
was
stunt double, you might say.
He was the original stunt double, and it was, yeah. What were your impressions on The Miz as champion?
He was like The Miz as not champion.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know. I mean, like, I really liked the Cena promo before it with the Cena and Jesus best friends forever sort of thing. There was a very, very angelic sort of believe in yourself. And
oh, did he have, it was the gospel entrance, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. That was the gospel entrance. Okay.
It was all right. Very weird. But something that confused me was Cena was booed and then The Miz was booed. This is quality booking for a WrestleMania finale.
Yeah.
I didn't think Cena was booed that early on. I thought it was a more recent thing that people don't like Cena. It's nice to know that's been going on for at least 40 years.
That was right after, I think, he really started hearing the boos. That was when people really started to get tired of him. I'm trying to think, what was the... Let's see, I'm going to look up and see what the WrestleMania before this was and see what he was in the... Let's see here. This was 26 was John Cena defeated Batista by submission for the WWE Championship. I think in between this WrestleMania 27 and the previous one is when Cena started to really hear the boos. And I think they sort of made a deal about it. I think there was some deal made about it. Like, it was starting to freak out the WWE. I forget, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I don't know. Nobody liked either of these guys. Like,
yeah,
people legit didn't like. I mean, no, I thought The Miz, at the time, there wasn't a good, strong main event heel. And Miz just happened to be, like, a hard worker and a good, according to what I've read, a good backstage politic guy. And so they put the belt on him, and it always just felt, oh my god, that's the most underwhelming person you could put the belt on. But there wasn't a strong choice for who else are you going to put it on. So it kind of made an element of sense because he had been rising up the ranks.
Yeah, it was a strange match. It wasn't, because you warned me that there was dodgy finish. You didn't warn me how dodgy the finish turned out to be.
Yeah, yeah. It was just the
so
rock
yeah, movie. it was so the match it really was Miz was leading Cena. He didn't seem Cena seemed to I thought he got a concussion at some point because he really didn't seem to be with it.
That could
be. He seemed a little off. I mean, there was my favorite bit was the Cena did a like Miz was propped up against the what's it called, the boundary thing,
the barricade, whatever. Yeah,
barricade, that's the one. And then Cena like charged at him, and the Miz didn't get out of the way. Has he never played a video game? Get out of the way. Cena then goes, oh, I'm groggy, and then you do your finisher on him. That's how it works. Quick time events. It's done. But yeah, so if you haven't seen this match, it ends on a count out. The
right.
headline of that's WrestleMania right. ends on a count out. Both people get knocked out from, I think it was that move, actually. I don't know. Yeah. My notes for this are as follows. Oh my god, this is going to be a count out. Fucking no, and then we go into all caps. Holy fucking shit, this is the worst of the things. Riot, riot now, burn this place to the ground.
Yeah, and yet, this is supposed to be, it says here, it says it's supposed to be a no DQ match.
You would think,
it says, oh, it says right here, you would think that would mean no countouts allowed.
It normally does, yeah.
I would think.
But apparently in this case, no. So then The Rock comes out and restarts things and messes over Cena, and then it ends.
Yeah.
Because
this match was
a 4-hour advert for WrestleMania 28.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, exactly. The main event was literally just the prologue to the next 2 years of WrestleMania main events.
Yeah.
It was 3 years of hell.
This was horrible.
Yeah, it was.
And I came in on the very last day of that.
Yeah, yep, that's true. Yeah, exactly.
That's a good time. But yeah, it was like the finale. Then Rock just rock bombs Miz as well. So the finale is the two main eventers are dead, and a part-timer is going, I'm the Rock, I'm the best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they decided to end WrestleMania on.
Yep.
That would have been the equivalent of, like, instead of Daniel Bryan winning that triple threat match, Drew Carey comes in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And Drew Carey moves it. What's Drew Carey's special called? The Price is Wrong, the bitch.
Exactly. Exactly. The Too Low, yeah.
Whose chair is it anyway, Clang? Yeah, and then it was awful, and I hate you for making me watch it.
Yeah.
You owe me something for this. The next one must be good.
Survivor Series 98 is Larson's favorite pay-per-view. It might be the best pay-per-view from the Attitude Era, which is like the best era in wrestling. So this should be the you'll get a kick out of this. You'll see what we got to see when we were in college growing up. It was the best. It really was.
I hope so.
You'll
and I hope that
great
I
notes.
Get amnesia and forget.
I'm trying to see. Let's see here, Cena. I'm trying to see when the Miz lost the belt. After this,
the day after.
Yeah, I know exactly. Later on, Cena. Oh, here we go. Cena won the. Oh, so this is probably the next month, or the month after Extreme Rules. He won the WWE Championship. Cena won it back from the Miz in a triple threat steel cage match against the Miz and John Morrison at Extreme Rules.
Okay.
Let's
see. And then he held on to it forever and ever.
Well, then,
the end.
Yeah, and then he lost it to, I think then he lost it to Punk.
Ooh, I know Punk had a really long reign. Was that round two? Was that before
that
the WrestleMania?
No,
or after
it was after this one. After this, a couple months after this, Punk had his big moment, his big pipe bomb speech thing, and then he won the belt from Cena, lost it to Del Rio. And then won it back from Del Rio, and then held on to it for 430 some odd days.
Who took it off him in the end?
The Rock.
Oh, fuck off! Really?
Because that's when they were going to do their big Rock versus Cena feud for the belt, and that's when Punk was like, "What the fuck? Like, I have legitimized this fucking belt after you had it on the Miz." And then you give it to the fucking Rock, who isn't even around, just so that him and Cena can feud over it.
The moral of this story is the Rocky shit.
Yeah,
that's what we've learned today.
But then just stay tuned, because watch Survivor Series night. You will see when all the goodwill the Rock built up was in the thick of it at Survivor Series 98. You will see how Rock is. It was just he was magnificent back then.
I look forward to it.
It's all right. Well,
I will still boo him slightly.
No, I do too. To this day, I love The Rock, and I, to this day, I'm like, oh, I'm just not. I just don't. He has that stupid team. Bring it. That's new. That's just. It's so. It's like The Rock now is like a personal trainer at the gym. You know, it's like that's who he is now. He's like, we're gonna do some cardio today, Steve. Okay, Rock. I smell what you're cooking. But anyways, until next time, we'll have Survivor Series 98 as our next book of the match.
Yeah.
On behalf of on behalf of Larson and the YouTube champion.
Yeah. Woo.
We'll see you guys next time.
Ta-ra.